Hey ladies, welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast that helps us love our actual life so we don't run away from home. A listener on Instagram pointed out very wisely that everything's closed, so right now if we wanted to run away from home, we couldn't. So we might as well figure out how to stay, yeah? Okay, so the coronavirus. I pushed the show that was supposed to be this week so that we could talk about how to struggle well, how to quarantine well, because I am sure that this has got you freaked out. I feel freaked out, not astronomically, but this is not fun for anybody. So I thought, let's circle the wagons. I don't know why I always want to say that phrase, but let's do that like we're pioneers and circle the wagons and talk about this. And I'm going to be honest, this year has been kind of weird for me as I transition from doing the show full-time to working full-time as a nurse. My time and attention is a lot more fragmented now between my family, work, school, and this podcast. And I'm tempted to believe sometimes that I'm not needed in this space because everybody who can speak in the world, if you have a mouth, in 2020, you also have a podcast, which is great. I don't think there's anything wrong with that even remotely. However, it just makes me think, I mean, do I really even need to say anything? Also, this has been a weird and dry time for me spiritually. So I extra don't think that I need to add to this conversation at all. There are so many voices already speaking about it that are doing an amazing job. And yet, I don't know, I felt like I was supposed to. So we're going to talk about how to struggle well through this situation. So here we go. Maybe you heard the quote that C.S. Lewis wrote about 72 years ago when everybody was very worried about the atomic bomb. Our pastor read it this morning at church, and it's just true. It was true then, it's true now, but not for the bomb, for the virus. So I'm going to read it, and I'm going to replace the bomb language with virus language, because I think it's just super powerful. All right. C.S. Lewis writes, "In one way, we think a great deal too much of the virus. How are we going to live?" And I'm tempted to reply, "Why, just as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you already are living in an age of cancer, of syphilis, of paralysis, of motor accidents. In other words, don't let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before this virus came upon us. And quite a high percentage of us are going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful, premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself is not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made. And the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by a virus, let that virus, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about the virus. It may break our bodies, but it need not dominate our minds." Ladies, God has given us an opportunity for a remarkable perspective shift. If we have eyes to see during this season, I believe that we could emerge from this walking more closely with the Lord, experiencing the abundant life that He has called us to more fully because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is actually good. As Christ followers, this world is not our home. And in times like this, aren't we glad about that? May this situation recalibrate our hearts for a longing toward heaven that we don't usually have because we're trying to make this place our heaven. So a verse that we all know, Philippians 4, verses 5 through 7 says, "The Lord is near." What a comfort. We usually start with the "don't be anxious about anything" part, but one verse earlier it says, "The Lord is near." He's told us that He's not going to leave us or forsake us. The Lord does not practice social distancing. The mighty God of the universe is near to you in this minute, stuck in your house with all the concerns that you have that are very valid, the Lord is near. Remember that. But then the passage goes on to say in verse 6, don't be anxious about anything. And I looked at the word anything and it means anything. Just kidding. That's a joke they used to always tell us in Bible school. I still think it's funny. But for reals, there's not a footnote at the bottom that says, except a global pandemic, then lose your brains. This anything encompasses the coronavirus. So it tells us what not to do, but then it tells us what to do. Pray. Tell God all about it. His line is never busy. He isn't frazzled or tired of hearing from you. He's patient. He's a kind father who, remember, a few verses back said, he is near. So God is near, and we're praying instead of worrying. But then it gets weird. The verse throws in the middle there some shenanigans about being thankful about our situation, and that feels a little crazy. Some ways my kids are being affected by this quarantine, it can seem small to me, but it is a really big deal to them. My daughter is not getting to see her horses like normal, and my son's birthday party got canceled. I can tell you there has been some weeping and gnashing of teeth at the Thomas house about an 8-year-old birthday party being canceled. Some serious crocodile tears have been shed over that. He is not in a thankful place. I can tell you that right now. But as moms whose brains are fully formed, we can remember less frazzled days when times were simpler, when the world was smaller. What a unique time to be forced to kind of go back there in some ways. There's always, always something to be thankful for. Sometimes we just really got to hunt for it, but the hunt is worth it. And I would challenge you when it says to pray about everything, don't worry about everything. Worrying and praying are different. When we pray, we are casting our anxiety on God. We are laying it down at his feet and saying, you take this. It's too heavy for me. And then he says, I know, sweet child, it's too heavy for you. Sometimes we let ourselves get so worked up and exhausted before we go to the point of laying it before him. And that's what we could really avoid here if we just pray about it and be thankful. Find something to be thankful for. So what does it look like to quarantine well? If you remember several months ago when we kind of did the well framework, it's just using the word well as an acronym. So the W means wait, the E means expect. The first L, look again, and then the second L, lean in. I want to take a break and say a special thank you to all of this week's sponsors. Beekeepers Naturals is a company on a mission to reinvent your medicine cabinet. I have been using their Propolis throat spray. It has 3 ingredients, which contain a lot of antioxidants, and it's exactly what your body needs when you are trying to get healthy or stay healthy. I'm just going to say the virus tends to live in our throats, and honey is a really great natural way to fight it. So this is a really great product for right now. So you can go to beekeepersnaturals.com/MSW and you'll get 15% off your first order, and then enter the code MSW at checkout. So again, that's beekeepersnaturals.com/MSW for 15% off. This would be a great product to have right now. So as parents, we want to encourage our children to pursue their dreams and provide opportunities that give them the best chance to succeed. Sometimes that means optimizing their routine and making it more flexible so they have more time to focus on the things they love. For my daughter, that means spending as much time as possible with horses, for example. So that's why there's Laurel Springs. So I've been pretty open about our homeschool experience and how switching schools, it's just a personal thing that each family has to make that choice. I am all for whatever academic experience works for your family and makes you feel like you're setting your kids up for success. And Laurel Springs is an accredited online private school for students K through 12 that might be a great option for you. Laurel Springs knows that all kids have different learning styles, challenges, and interests, and that's why they offer flexible learning programs and diverse elective courses that you could even add on to your existing homeschool experience. Laurel Springs is accredited, their transcripts are recognized by colleges and universities worldwide. So if this sounds like a great move for your family. Register your child at laurelsprings.com/MSW today, and you'll receive a waived registration fee. That's laurelsprings.com/MSW for your waived registration fee. laurelsprings.com/MSW. This episode is also sponsored by The Hands-On Bible from Tyndale House Publishers. The Hands-On Bible is loaded with over 150 activities that parents and kids can do together. I love this Bible. My kids love this Bible. I've given it away as gifts to people. This Bible is packed with activities, humor, fun graphics to help kids learn, understand, and live out the important truths that we learn from the Bible. I got my own copy for the kids in the mail, and they really love the activities and the extra bits of information at the front of every chapter. Plus, they're just gorgeous and well-made. So visit thehandsonbible.com for 35% off deluxe editions of the Hands-On Bible through April 12th, 2020. So in this season where we're all a little freaked out and life is not looking normal, I want to tell you again about an app. I mentioned it last week, but it can help you dig into God's word in as little as 2 minutes, if that's all that you have between craziness that you're precious little children create for you. So Abide is the number one Christian meditation app out there, and its users are reporting less stress, lower anxiety, and better sleep. I think sometimes we get freaked out about meditation, but what it is putting your mind on something. We're even told to meditate on the Word of God. That is a great thing that we're supposed to do, and Abide can help. For a limited time, moms who are struggling well will get 25% off a premium subscription when you visit abide.co/MSW. It's based on biblical scripture, and you can fit it into your busy schedule. You can get centered right in the middle of soccer practice if that wasn't canceled right now. Abide covers topics like overcoming anxiety, managing stress, addiction, and recovery. Plus, they have bedtime stories section that you can listen to with your kids. So join the millions of people using Abide. Get started now with 25% off a premium subscription by downloading the Abide app at abide.co/MSW. You'll get additional stories and meditations, premium music, soothing sounds, and more. Support this show and get 25% off by going to abide.co/MSW. That's abide.co/MSW to download the Abide app and get 25% off your premium subscription. Okay, so the first part of quarantining well is weight, weight. Obviously, we don't have a choice. We are stuck at home. There's a lot of waiting going on. I know some people are stuck in other countries. A girl wrote me on Instagram who lives in Italy, so she has been waiting for longer than we have in America. Bless her. So our bodies, though, might be at home, but for some of us, they are still running all around, keeping busy. On some level, it's a great thing because we can get some much-needed tasks done in our houses. I cleaned out my laundry room with gusto yesterday, but I got to be honest, and I would encourage you to be honest with yourself. Are you moving around and getting stuff done because this is a great opportunity or because you're too freaked out to be still? That's very true for me. I had planned on tackling my whole kitchen today, but I could tell that it was from a place of striving and nervous energy and not from a place of thoughtful attention to what actually needed to be done or what would bless my family or even me in this time. I'm about to be gone for 3 12-hour shifts starting tomorrow, and I don't need to disassemble my kitchen all day and freak out everyone I live with. But it actually is a good opportunity, so I let myself reorganize a couple of cabinets and then I stopped. And that might not seem like a big deal, but I gotta tell you, ask anyone who knows me, that is struggling well right there. So in this time, have a look at what you run to when your body waits. Some of us are going to run to food. Some of us find comfort in the false control that we have when we restrict food. Some of us will go to drinking. Or like Liz said last week, go to pills that are prescribed by a doctor, justifying it because we have a prescription. But we know deep down when we're using them wrong and for the wrong reasons. Some of us wait by going to sleep because being awake is just too hard. Some of us stop sleeping because anxiety is stronger than our bodies need for sleep. Some of us wait by online shopping or by buying all the toilet paper in the stores. So I will have you know that Thomas House has 6 rolls of toilet paper. 6. That's not going to last very long. And I blame all of you sitting on your thrones of toilet paper. I'm just trying to make you feel bad, and I hope it worked. Some of us don't shop while we wait, but we just obsess and worry about how we are going to keep the money coming in with the uncertainty of our future now. Some of us wait by wanting the comfort of intimacy. Some of us might be too stressed for any intimacy with our husbands. Some of us overexercise. Some of us won't get off the couch all day. So something to be thankful for here is the opportunity that all of these things are going to bubble to the surface. Places that we go for comfort are really going to show themselves in this time, and that's a gift. So while we wait, we need to be cognizant of which ditch we end up in when we go off the road. I can tell you mine is sleeping, eating a lot of toast. Love me some toast when I'm stressed out. And I isolate in my room because talking to my kids stresses me out. Does it need to? No, but I've already decided it's going to be bad. And so guess what? It turns out bad. My husband challenged me the other day when I told him that days off with no structure are terrible. And he said, why? And I kept answering and he kept asking more questions. Why? Why? And why is that? And why is that? And I had no choice but to realize that I work everyone to death because I'm anxious about too much downtime. So I overstructure their time with cleaning because that makes me feel better. I get mad at them for not wanting to clean. They get mad at me for being a ridiculous human. And then, yes, guess what? The day's terrible. So those are the things that are going to come up as we wait. Don't judge it. Just go, huh. So that's what I run to. For me, it's order. I find control and comfort in everything being quiet and clean. And guess what? I probably should have just become a cat lady because that does not happen when you live with other humans. So during this stressful season, we have the opportunity to lead ourselves well while we wait. My plan is to sit with the Lord as the anxiety of no structure and dirtiness and noise washes over me and ask him to tell me truths in the middle instead of becoming a drill sergeant to my poor children who are already sad about their horses and their birthdays being canceled. Okay, so that's W, wait. Expect weird things to come up while you wait. But then the E is expect. If I asked you what you expected to come from this virus, most of us would say that we have no idea, but that if we needed to make a guess, it would probably be pretty negative. After all, it's just the beginning and it's already pretty darn negative. And we can see what's happened in other countries. It ain't great. And I'd say that's a realistic expectation. There are going to be some serious negative downsides for this, ramifications that we haven't even thought about yet. All of that is true. But there is always more going on in the spiritual realm. Arguably, the spiritual realm, since it doesn't ever end, is more real than what we can see in our bank accounts and in our houses and before our eyes, anything that we can visually see. The spiritual realm is more real. And the bad things that we're expecting, those are just the tip of the iceberg regarding what's actually going on. If you're Narnia fans and you love Aslan as much as I do, Aslan is on the move. God never stops working. And Romans 8 tells us that he is in the actual business of turning everything out for our good. In fact, as someone who deals with depression, I got a tattoo on my arm about 6 months ago. It's an Elizabeth Elliot quote, and it says, God's story never ends with ashes. I have to remind myself that all the time. And I get to remind my mental health patients the same thing, that if it is not good, it is not the end, because God's story does not end with ashes. And sure, once this whole thing is a memory, we can look back and find evidences of the ways that God has turned this virus out for good. But ladies, we do not have to wait nearly that long to see God doing something good. What shifts so far in the past couple days have happened in your priorities already because of this? That is good. And it's just the beginning. We have a perfect, loving God who is always working, and we can expect great things because he has never failed us yet. So after having waited with the Lord and watching some nasty things bubble to the surface about where we run for comfort that's not Him. And then reminding ourselves that we can expect exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we could even ask or imagine. That is what God is at work doing in the midst of this virus. So then the first L is look again. We should be able to look again at the very same situation with a completely different perspective. Elisa Keaton wears these goofy glasses. She calls them her gospel goggles. Sometimes we literally need to do things like that to remind us to see anew the same old situation. Who around you needs encouragement right now? Who around you can you remind them of what is actually true in this situation? Who around you can you share your worldview that God has got this under control, even if they may not agree with you? I've had the opportunity to have a lot of spiritual conversations at work with people because, I mean, it's just, this is a time that is ripe for sharing the hope that you have, for being set apart, for being a city on a hill. That is what we're called to. Maybe you look again and you can see that there's people that you could offer to go to the grocery store for who are elderly or disabled or immunocompromised. What could you do to be an excellent citizen of earth because you know that ultimately your citizenship is in heaven? Once we look again and we're not freaked out and laying in the bed and watching Netflix just because we can't even handle it, we can get after actually being the hands and feet of God. We can't do that in our own strength. We're going to not do it well. We'll do it anxious and freaked out and probably mess up more than we help. But if our perspectives are right, if we realize the Lord is near, wow, He has me here for such a time as this. How can I look at this again? How can I lighten someone's load? It changes everything. And then the last L, lean in. This part is hard. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we go, all that stuff I thought about before and I was processing through with the Lord sounds a lot nicer if it just stays in my journal and I don't actually have to do anything about it. But leaning in is kind of rooting down and resolving to actually do the things that God put on your heart. Just the next thing that's the right choice. Go to bed if you've been so nervous. Can you trust God enough to sleep well? Or for me, get the heck out of bed, Emily. Enter into relationship with your family and stop deciding that it's going to be stressful before anything's even happened. You big sissy. Play Legos with your son. Sing another song with your toddler. Monitor teeth brushing with a happy heart. I don't know why I hate teeth brushing so much. Watching my kids do it and fighting about it. Ooh. So when we lean in, we can praise God in the unknowns because He has made Himself known to you. There's one giant, the most important unknown. It's known to you. He's revealed Himself to you. Every single moment of the day, we have the choice to root down, to lean in, to where we find ourselves serving God as we go, because we know from Acts 17 that where we are and when we are is not an accident. He put us here for such a time as this. And if this sounds exhausting to make the next right choice every moment of the day, it's because it is. We are not going to last long if we do this in our own strength. We need to depend on God, cast our cares on Him. He actually cares for us. May this be a new way of life for us going forward. So I want to close with a prayer called A Liturgy for a Sick Day. It's from a book called Every Moment Holy that I really love. I'm going to change a couple of the words to suit our situation. But anyway, ladies, I want to say thank you for listening and tuning in. I hope this was an encouragement to you. It was an encouragement for me to remind myself of all of these things. And we just need to remind ourselves we forget things really quickly. All right, let me read this prayer. For this brief pause, for this reminder of my own weakness and of my dependence on You, I thank You, O Lord. A day such as this, in which I endure a measure of unease, is a reminder that the redemption of all things is not yet complete. It's a reminder that this body will decline and one day fail. And so, it's also a reminder that the ways I spend my days matter. For my hours, revealed like veins of gold beneath a rushing stream, are a limited resource to be purposefully mined or forever lost. A day such as this is a reminder that good health and vigor are gifts to be consciously and gratefully enjoyed, and to be invested while they might on eternal things. So let me finish this day, O Lord, wiser than I began it. Let me live now in light of the knowledge that a time might come in this life when I feel such sickness and discomfort for a long season, when I must adjust to a new normal, when my abilities are limited either by the slow decline of age or from some accident, injury, or disease. Therefore, let me use the good health that I have while I have it, presuming nothing. Let me use it to serve well, to love well, to care for your people, your creation, to spend my allotted days cherishing hearts, creating beauty, bringing order, offering healing, delighting in your goodness manifest to me in a million ways, and so to one day come to the end of my days having stewarded them well. Raise me again to health with the heightened sense of thankfulness. Lord, give me a heightened sense of thankfulness for the unmerited gift of well-being, and also with a greater sense of compassion for those who suffer lingering ailment, disease, or discomfort. Teach me by my own small sufferings to be a better minister and a friend to those who suffer greatly. So let even the unease I feel today work as your servant, accomplishing your better purposes in me. Amen. All right, ladies, I'm praying for you. Quarantine well. I can't wait to hear about it. Tag me in your posts on Instagram and tell me how you're quarantining well, okay? I'll talk to you soon.